Hello and welcome back, everybody. We're here once again with further coverage of E3. Whoop, whoop. I'm joined today by Chloe.
Hello.
Morgan.
Hello.
Tom.
What's up?
And Kerry.
That's so funny because I was going to go, what's up? I did not realize you were going to go with the brain cell.
Clearly a perfect match.
Yeah, clearly.
We can have two what's ups. That's absolutely fine.
Do it in unison.
Yeah.
Ready?
Mine's okay.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
What's up?
That came up on my mic.
Beautiful. And I'm Alex. And we're going to go delve into Saturday and all the fun and shenanigans that we had there.
Was there any chicanery to be had?
I think there was a little bit.
So really funny, I saw you when we were getting ready to monster, Kerry. And I was like, oh, Navara monstering as well, because I forgot that you moved to Varushka.
It's just my old Navar kit.
Yeah, well, that must have been it, because then I saw Alex and Chloe later on.
You'd forgotten your sword, right?
I forgot my shield. But yeah, Saturday was Druging. So you guys were fighting the Druge, right?
Yeah.
Was this your first time Druging, Morgan?
My first ever Druge experience.
Me too.
I can't believe it's been 3 years.
Oh, it was so good.
And you've only just Druged.
I was so happy because I bought my Navar kit just hoping that I would monster as the Druge. And I didn't have anything suitable for any other monstering nation.
So, Lion Commander, what was the battle all about?
Hang on, I'm thinking. It was a very simple thing.
Killing.
So the thing is, like, Neve knows what the fuck is going on. Chloe does not.
I like how you've got two separate brains.
It was...
If I put the spotlight on you, do you want me to rescind this question?
Do you want me to get you, like, a lot?
You could bring up the Winds of War, because it'll be on there.
There was just two... cauldrons! Poison!
Yeah.
There we go.
It was in the Runin, right?
Yeah, so we were in the Runin, and there were two cauldrons full of mystery poison, and we had to ascertain what they were, create an antidote for them, and basically try not to spill them.
Seems simple enough.
Yeah, I mean, there was only two of them. It was fairly easy.
We were briefed, so we were playing, so I was part of the Dawn EMU. For those of you that don't know what an EMU is at this point, is essentially an organised group of monsters from each nation.
Say it by its name.
Mm-hmm. Elite Monster Unit.
Elite Monster Unit.
There we go.
And the idea is that you are part of that monster unit, you put a lot of effort into your kit for monstering, and you have identifiable groups from each kind of, each nation plays, because it could be like, okay, so these guys put a lot of effort into the kit, and it brings a lot of kind of like a strong kind of vibe to the battlefield that's kind of like these elite units. And we were playing the Druge, I think it's called Picard, who essentially are like shock troops, heavily armored, and everything they carry is looted. So they loot their armor, they loot everything kind of off the field. So I was like, perfect. So I took my surcoat that I wear as Tristan. I took one of my banners, which has got tattered ribbons hanging from it. I got my green tunic from ages ago, and I all just kind of hung it off my kit. So it was like trophies that I'd taken from kind of dead Dawnish. Put some blood on there, because also before battle, the Picard cover themselves in blood. And it was very excited to be like really heavy, so like shock troop Druge. So go in, hit really hard, run out again. So that was kind of us getting ready. As Kerry said, I forgot my shield, so I had to march all the way back.
Loser.
But yeah. So what was the battle like for the guys actually battling?
Do you know what? It was pretty cool.
That's the most tame description of a battle ever.
It's pretty cool.
So moving on to mid-afternoon.
Yeah, 3 o'clock. I was line captaining again, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, lost your voice, didn't you?
I severely lost my voice.
Well, we heard that last week.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I listened to it back and I sounded okay. I just sounded kind of quiet.
Yeah, it was a lot better than when we were in like the van on the way back, and you were literally like, God. You could tell that you were like trying to shout through like having no voice, but you were just so excited to talk all about the weekend.
I love this game, man.
It's like a great game.
I also have to hand it to Chloe. Next to me, anyone sounds quiet.
True. Yeah.
Maybe you should lose your voice for a bit, Tom. Give us all a break.
When I nothing to do with this. When I lost my voice because of a call, apparently I sound like Wacko from the Animaniacs.
Oh my God, he did. He woke up and for some reason he had a Liverpudlian accent and everything.
It was weird.
No, it's because it was really congested. It wasn't that you'd lost your voice, but it was weird.
Gained a new voice.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, because I think a few of us saw you guys fighting on the field.
Yeah, I didn't see your cleavable thighs, Alex. I was sad.
Well, we were very much in the same place for like the whole fight. But that doesn't mean it wasn't successful. It went really well. We even had refs coming up to us and saying like, hey, you guys, those dread shields, great fighting. Like it's just clean. It's like a lot of respect to you. We were holding a spawn point.
Top game.
Yeah.
At top gate.
Yeah, we know.
just for like the whole thing.
It happened by accident.
Yeah, it wasn't planned or anything. I was just straddling this log. So I had my shield in one hand, my sword, and we weren't to push. We just had to kind of stay there and hold the position. And I was just doing the splits over this log the whole time. Mostly like so no one else would back into it and fall over it and whatnot, because it was a massive trip hazard. And by the end of it, my trousers were just ripped right down the middle, like the whole way down. So that was a sacrifice that I made during that fight.
What a sack. Did your trousers get accommodation?
They did, yeah. They've got a little badge hanging off the gap now.
Yeah, for us it was okay. We entered the fields. I was going to take my line to the right flank. Deadfall were going to take centre, and Embercast were taking left flank because Naval were first on the field. So we were like, okay, cool. We're just going to sweep in, move up, and we're just going to push basically. My right flank was completely clear, so looked to see on the left in the middle to see if anyone needed kind of reinforcing for a bit. Everything seemed okay. So we kind of just pushed through the field, kept sweeping on the right, and we just ended up at top gate, in which we saw a load of Druge there. So we're like, cool, have a little scrap here.
I was load of Druge.
Yeah. Hi. So we kind of just ended up there, and that's where we remained for the entire thing, because they kept spawning from there. We kept getting flanked on the left. We knew if we were to pull out of there as well that we would, like, really fuck up the field. And, like, I think because Wintermark, we're getting circled on the field anyway, so we're like, we should not give any more... What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Any more obstacles, I guess, for them to try and deal with. So we just held that entire... top gate for the whole battle.
And it was great. We essentially had two rows of shields because it was quite narrow. So we had this system. It was like a conveyor belt. When they got shattered or struck down at the front, they were carried back, and then the second layer of shields was there ready. So we were just impenetrable. And obviously we had the cleave machine, me and Steve. So I was able to get a few cleaves off because he empowers me, and then I've got 10 seconds to get a cleave off. So I turn into like a... like heat-seeking missile. Yeah, just looking for a little bit of
bit of flesh,
or clothing or something in between all the armor until I can find something. But it was really successful. And as I say, like the refs and everyone else was coming up and saying what a good job we did. And then towards the end, when we were backing out, we had a very mighty force of Urizen.
Yeah, so I had sent a runner for reinforcements, because there was a point like we were handling it, but you know, we were very rapidly burning through herbs and things. I was like, we are tired, we need to just stop and take on water for a second. Like, we were pretty knackered. I was like, all right, we need reinforcements just to kind of help ease this pressure. And so we had Black Scar turn up, and we had the Scarlet Guard, which is a group in Urizen, turn up. And it was fantastic. I was like, right, Urizen, you're taking the right. Black Scar, you're taking the left. Dread Shields, we're going to pull for a second. Because we also had Fate's Claw with us. And I think we just had like a few other little groups kind of tag along with us too. But those two filtered in perfectly. We pushed back, had a good second just to catch our breaths. And then we all got sucked back in again. And then we had the order that that we were all leaving the field. So we, like the captain of the Scarlet Guard and myself, we had a bit of a chat. Black Scar headed off to go and reinforce somewhere else. So we were like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. We organised a retreat, and Deadfall and Ed McCastle had reconvened with us at this point, and we just formed the sickest looking fucking Navari line.
Yeah.
Honestly, like Georg and Austin with the two other line captains as well as me, we were just walking up and down our line waiting for Urzen, the Scarlet Guard, to pull out, because their job was to pull out behind us, like to lead the Druze to us, so we would hold it whilst they got to the other side of us, and we were just going to like relay it like that down the field, but they all kind of just wandered off anyway.
Mm.
But, yeah, there was just this massive Navari line just stood there. We were walking up and down. And I was like, God, we're a good-looking nation. Look at us. Mm. And it was really, really cool. But there were so many things that happened. I could spend the entire episode talking about it, but that's enough of my voice for a bit. How was it for you, monstering, Kerry? Because it was your first time.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't my first time monstering, actually. I was the Jotun at one point last year when I was in Navarre. I went out with some of y'all, actually. Mm-hmm. But... you know, that was fun last year, but I got to say I had the most fun monstering at this time. I teamed up with our friend Yada, and we were Barry and Larry, best of friends in the Druze army. we had our own little theme tune and everything. We were two Druzy boys, and we were marching out there, and then, like, Barry got knocked down or whatever. We were, like, running out. Like, Barry! Barry! And then, like, one of the, what they've called... Fuel, what are they called? The slave people.
Thralls.
I always get them mixed up with the...
They
are just slaves, yeah. Anyway, I was really confused because I was like, why is this person without a mask not only healing us but also being like, don't stab me? So it took me a beat to figure that out. But it was that role play, so funny. Whenever they were healing us, there was this one guy in particular who healed us a couple of times, and he was like, okay, this is going to hurt, but don't stab me. Okay, you can't stab me. Like, he was healing Barry at one point, and I was like, can I stab you, though? Just looked at me like... Can I stab you,
though? I think that would be brilliant.
As soon as he finished healing me, I was like, right, you've got a 10-second head start. Go. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, partway through the battle... me and Barry stepped back, like, because we lasted quite a while as monsters. Last time when I did it, I just kept dying every time I ran in. But me and Yada were doing pretty good at, like, getting a couple of hits in, running off, and then because there was some healing there, which was funny. But, yeah, then Barry steps back, and Barry's just like, oh, sorry, Larry, I'm just not myself today. So I was like, you all right, Barry? Everything all right at home? Barry's just like, oh, actually, no. Wife's filed for divorce, hasn't she?
Oh, dear.
So we're there having that heart-to-heart on the battlefield. Absolutely hilarious. Then we died, and we came back as the wives, Sherry and Kerry, only I wasn't Kerry, of course. And then we died very quickly, and I was, like, trying desperately to get a cleave off for the whole thing. I kept hitting people, but hitting their armour or missing or just getting cleaved myself. And, like, there's just one moment as Sherry where I get cleaved, and as I go down, I cleave someone else's leg. And unfortunately, I hit armour, but it was fun. It looked cool.
Yeah.
nice. And then then we came back as Jimmy and Timmy, the kids, and they did survive, so they'll be back.
It baffles me that you and Yad have managed to stay together for that long during monstering.
I know.
Anytime I monster.
It was the first time I'd worn an orc mask, and my peripheral vision was shot, honestly.
Yeah, they're not the most comfortable things. But every time I monster, no matter who I start off with, I will not be with that person for the next five, like, after the next 5 minutes, they're gone.
We were very sort of aware of where each other were. I think we were both a bit scared to be, like, right in the front line as well. So we kept, like, going in a bit and then running back.
Yeah, see, I just get stuck straight in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we fortunately both died at the same time.
Well, that's cool. That's good.
Yeah, so Yada lying on the ground, and I wasn't sure if someone was healing her, but it turns out they were executing her. So I went to walk past, and I was just like, Barry, I'm dead, Barry. It's Larry's ghost. But then they got up, and they were like, no, I'm dead too. And I was like, all right, okay, let's go. Then I had to fish someone's shoe out of the mud, because even though it was quite dry on, like, the actual, like, field, it was really wet in the fog.
I really enjoy temporary monster player interactions of, like, oh, you've dropped. So I did it last time where somebody dropped their antlers, and I was like, oh, let me just get those for you. There you go. And they're like, oh, cheers, thanks. I was like, no worries.
It's nice just like showing that little like player solidarity.
Remembering this is a game. We're all just here to have a laugh. It's just a game, bro.
Yeah, like, they hurt their ankle a little bit, like going down because it was like really uneven ground. So when we came back to Monstering, I was like, okay, we can respawn, but like let's just like have a rest first. But then they were feeling better after not too long. So we managed to get back out, and I was like, okay, just let's go. Like we'll stay away, and then I think we were being a lot more careful after that to be like where there was even ground and stuff. Yeah.
Especially if you're not used to the field and the woods and stuff, like you have to be careful.
Yeah, exactly. And like again with the orc mask, when you can't really see where you're going.
So
be careful, guys. But you know, it's still lots of fun.
I had a great time monstering. When I was fighting you guys at Topgate, speaking of cleaving people as you're going down, we ran at you kind of to try and push our way through. And then I think I took a cleave to the leg, and I was still fighting on the ground. And as I went down, I clawed towards someone, cleaved the back of their leg as I went down. Which is just a really cool moment. This orc, like, scrapping, trying to rip your leg off, which was good fun. then it was kind of like lots of dying, lots of respawning. There was a... Towards the end, though, the potions had been spilled over. And the ref was like, everybody here, venomed. So we got all venomed. The battle was basically done. They were starting to leave, but we hadn't been given the call to leave, to break off. And basically there was like strands of Imperials just hanging around because everyone was dragged out. So like we just ended up moving to cut people off. So like people would start to sprint, but getting in between them. So that was when like everything was going fine. And then towards the end of the battle, people started to die. Because people were starting to pull out, but not everyone was going with them. So a lot of people getting cut down. I took a really hard smack right in the eye, a really horrendously unpulled blow. And the ref spoke to them and they were like, I don't know what the result was, but they went, the person apologized. But I was like, yeah, just that wasn't. They were like, I was aiming for your shoulder. I was like, yeah, well, if that was my shoulder.
Doesn't matter where you were aiming.
Too hard.
It's important to pull your blows. I mean,
You don't know what you're going to hit.
But yeah, you don't know where you're going
to hit. Even so, it doesn't matter where you're going to hit. You need to pull your blows anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is exactly why it's so important.
Because if you get slightly wrong, you get clocked on the eye.
It's like one thing, if you whack someone on a metal plate arm or whatever, yeah, fair enough. But if you miss it slightly because they've moved and tried to duck or, you know, whatever, then it can go straight in the face.
See, not great. But the fighting was really fun. And then we were throwing... I'm going to brush it off as like a druge intimidation tactic. We were throwing people back that were dead. Just kind of like, throw them in the corpse pile and lobbing people back. And we were all standing there and jeering. Who do I see coming past me being grabbed? But Bungle. I was like, oh, no.
Oh,
saw Bungle get thrown. I was like...
Having fun, being all
But then the line started to move without Bungle. I was like, oh no, he's still here, guys.
My boy.
Yeah,
forgot one. Come back.
The end of the end of the fight was like, that's when people started to die because it wasn't a very ordered retreat, so they just kept getting cut off.
Well, no, because we were told when we were like lining up to monster, they were like, right, the druge fight like this. They feel like you don't go in unless you're like. If you're outnumbered, you find more druge and you fight with them. But then by the end, I was like, there's like six of us and I can't see anymore. And there's all these Navari and none of them are you two. Just wanted to fight you guys.
At one point, there was like 10 or 15 druge and about 30 Imperials. As we started to move out, it just thinned and thinned and thinned until there was like 10 Imperials, a huge gap. And then the rest of them, we were like, should we just stand here? And then we did, and then, it was getting pretty brutal. Saw several people go down then the line moving past them, and then obviously everyone's screaming, trying to get to them, but then the druids just keep moving forward, and it was like, holy shit. Someone ran to go save, someone got repelled back behind the line. It was, brutal.
So chaotic.
Yeah, it was like the whole fight. Sorry?
I was just going to say, we had the most perfect and easy retreat.
We were in the woods.
We were still at Topgate. Like, honestly, this, I did not see any of this. That's the thing, right?
Fighting druids in the woods... Like, it's rough.
Once you enter the woods, the battle becomes a degree or two harder.
And I think it's interesting when you're fighting Jotun, because I really enjoy how the briefs do get enforced by how people monster, because when the Jotun fight in the woods, it's grim, but for everyone. When the druge fight in the woods, it suddenly becomes worse. Like, it's like, because the way you manipulate the lands, like you're moving around, you don't let them take you, and you drag them in.
Yeah.
Whereas again, when they're pushing as hard back. But yeah,
it was... I love that that is reflected in gameplay.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know how it happens. Because also, there was the Imperials were pushing through the woods. And I was like, why are we all scattered? I'm like, oh, there's not enough of us. So if we just stay scattered, they can't do anything. They're just kind of trying to pull in, but there wasn't enough of them. But yeah, it was good stuff, good fight. Really enjoyed it.
What about you, Tom? Sure. Did you enjoy being bad and bougie?
For the most part, yes. I won't call out the specific group, but I'm quite annoyed at Wintermark fighting. Point for number one. I was fighting with my halberd. One of them came up with a big shield, pinned my arm against me and kept pushing, to which I was taking physical steps back.
That is allowed.
I don't know. It was quite hard. Like, I know you can block.
No, you can push.
Oh, fair enough.
If you put your shield on someone, you're allowed to walk with them.
Oh, fair enough.
That is actually, like, within the rules of the game. They can't hit you with the shield.
Ah, I've heard conflicting things with the shield thing.
Is there not, like, a limit to how much they can push someone back like that, though?
It doesn't say it. So the
rule... you can pull us.
By the rules, you walk to make contact with them.
Yeah.
So as long as they didn't hit you with a shield, they're okay. Fine. And then they can just walk.
Okay.
So cool. If you're that, unfortunately, at that point, your choice is to either hold and try and push back or get out.
Okay. I apologize to that winter marker. But the one that really wasn't on was one of my doors went down and people were hitting them physically with the butts of their weapons.
Oh.
That one is not on at all. Be fucking better.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not good.
That is dangerous.
Yeah.
But other than that, the battle was quite fun. Like respawning in. Well, fought for a bit, kind of poked with my halberd running around. Stayed alive for about 20 minutes, which is quite a record time, really. Wintermark was pushing into the woods, so it was kind of hit them back, pull back, hit them back. And eventually you kind of just run out of woods to pull back into.
Oh, no, I'm at the spawn point. Whoops.
Oopsie-daisy. So that was quite a bit of fun. Go back. Debating whether I want to go out or not, and or go back to town early, get a shower and whatnot. I was like, you know what? I'll go play again. Thought we were going to go back into the woods. No, we got put onto the main field to go and harass Wintermark in a fort, which was a lot of fun. I don't know how much they were meant to be guarding the fort, but it seemed like it was becoming a death donut inside the fort.
Oh, no.
Oh my God, that sounds dangerous.
Well, there was a couple of people that actually dragged out of the crush. Like man downs, everyone kneeling, and I saw a few people being carried about two or three. So looks like a couple of leg injuries happened, which it is a full contact sport. So
yeah,
it's one of these things are going to happen.
As long as you're fighting safely, you should be fine.
Yeah,
I think the caveat with the shield pushing thing, because it is one of those things where it's like technically allowed, but be sensible, is that I think if you are in like...
I wasn't in a crush.
Yeah, if you're like... getting in physically injured, there's a problem of you being about to fall over. I think it's perfectly valid to say stop. But again, a big part of it is just get out of there.
Well, I've learned something new. As a non-shield user, that's never come up.
Yeah, no, it's very... I've run into people saying...
I don't know if this is on brief or not.
Yeah, I've run into people saying it to me before. And I'm like, I'm not... I've checked with the ref and they're like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I've got something new I can do with my shield.
Yeah. Now. It's one of those things where it's not like... it's weird because it's like... they don't encourage it, but also the rules say, like, you can push.
But as long as you're, like, making sure not to, like, you know, being careful that to not push them over and not barging into them.
Well, another rule I want clarifying as well is, so if someone falls over due to the fact they fell over, loads of people tell me, no, you've got to wait for them to get back up again. I'm like, I don't actually think that's true.
I mean, like, maybe give it a beat to make sure they're not hurt.
Yeah, I think as long as they're out of character, okay, you can still attack. Because I know, because I've seen situations where people have died because that's happened. The ref has been like, no, keep going.
Yeah.
So I think, but it's,
be reasonable. Don't be whacking them with the butts of your weapons or...
Yeah, exactly.
When they're down on the floor, dying.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'd always ask. If someone fell over in front of me, I'd always be like, are you right? And it's like, exactly. Then go hit them, but don't just...
Yeah. Don't just be like, panel beam.
Yay, they fell over. This is my chance.
But really, what does amaze me is how much of an impact even a few druge can have surrounding the enemy. We were very outnumbered, but it felt like they were too hesitant to pull out.
It's really interesting because that happens a lot in all fights, I find, is that I'll see, like, a line of 10 soldiers and then, like, maybe a handful of orcs. And you go up to them, it's like, there's about 10 of us and 5 of them. Go. It's just, like, you push into it because being psyched out of, like, even a small amount can, like, really swing how you're going to fight.
Yeah. So I was pulling in, stabbing them up a bit, pulling out. Eventually, I get taken down. And one of them comes up and just goes, execute. I'm like, Not gonna die like that, love. You got to properly execute me.
Was that 5 seconds of appropriate roleplay? I don't think
to which
so.
One of my mate comes and like, stay with me. I'm like, fuck you, mate. I'm out of here. Go and get healed. You know how the fort has the little walls at the side? There's quite a few like small disjointed walls.
Famously on a fort.
Well, yes, but more than an average fort. Usually you have four, but because it's Empire Fort, you've only got like tiny bits of wood.
Yeah.
So my favourite bit of the battle was playing whack-a-mole with Winter Markers, where I go, hide behind the wall, stab, go back. They start stab me, I pull back, stabbing, which was a lot of fun, a bit of fishing. And basically that was it. I went running around on one hit point for a while because it's late battle, no one has any herbs left. Winter Markers coming around to kind of just finish off the orcs. So I think I'm the last one alive on the field. And there's one Winter Marker who I loved chasing me around the field and trees for about 10-15 minutes.
he'll stop music.
Like, I know I wasn't going to survive this, but it's like, okay, he's going away again. Start running at him again. Come back. Then running off. And then eventually it's like, you know what? I'll strike him down. And then he took me out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then you want to strike him down? Whack. Oh. They're bleeding out. Oh, their friends are gone. Oh, fuck. Never mind.
Toodles.
Toodaloo.
And that was kind of my battle. It was a fun Druge-y one.
Yeah, I enjoyed being Druge.
I need to try another weapon. I love the halberd, but I feel like if I mix it up a bit, something...
Yeah, maybe I should use Ambi at some point. You have fun with Ambi, don't you, Chloe?
I was actually thinking that for monstering.
I do have fun Ambiing, yes.
No, I did it kind of And Now My Watch Begins with sword and knife. And it's just fun because you can do stuff with the other hand, because it's like, this is mostly nothing. I can mostly do nothing with this. But if I get close enough, I've now got an extra weapon.
I did enjoy having a sword and shield at Now My Watch Begins when I was fenning.
Because I've never done that before.
But
nice, good stuff, good battle.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have a question about Ambi. So you know how it's like you get one hit point, like one of damage, like per source? If you had two swords, could you be two sources?
You can only deal 1 point of damage per second.
Per person.
So if you're whacking someone with two swords,
you're still only doing one.
You're only doing one.
I did have a lot of that whacking with little swords like a drum kit. I'm like, dudes,
that you're not supposed to do that.
That's less than 0.5 seconds. Yeah.
So basically, if one person is hitting you repeatedly with two swords, and you've got five hit points, you can stand there for 5 seconds and deal.
I think this is what I like about ILARP combat, like the cinematic roleplay of no necessary hit points.
It's what's cool.
Style in. Yeah.
Exactly. There was one point where Dylan was down and someone was just tapping him like he was a symbol.
I hate tippy tap fighting. It's so annoying.
What is that?
I'm going to hit you
with
my
strong hit. That just makes me think of when people are playing computer games and you could just hear the key tapping over and over again.
It's like trying to spam Dylan's death.
They say you shouldn't hit tap too quickly because it also confuses the person getting hit because it's harder to keep track of how many hits you've taken as well.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do big heroic swings. And also when you do hero calls, interestingly, you are supposed to...
Act it out.
Excuse me. You are supposed to do a big heroic attack.
That makes sense, though. Yeah. With a cleave, you want to like be looking like you're actually chopping someone's
Leg. Yeah, exactly. You can't just go, cleave. And it's the same thing with like casting spells. You can't just go, boop. You have to say a few words and then do it. But you have to look heroic whilst you do it.
Yeah, Steve's really good with his empowers because I can hear him be... I don't know who's there. Obviously, I'm facing forwards, but I'll just hear like... By the power of the Navarre, or whatever he says, and I'm like, ooh, he's going to touch me.
By the power of Grayskull. By the power of Grayskull, tickles you with his rod.
And then, I'm like, ooh. Fully charged. But that was the battle. I would say it was very different from last event, where we were all walking out with our heads low. We had our heads held high, and we were smiling. We were really proud of what we did. And then it was time to head back for a bit of a chill.
Well, we were walking back to camp and we were heading through and we could see some people sitting in our camp. I was like, oh, who's sat at our camp? Just curious. Yeah. And I was like, oh, they look like leaguers. I was like, why is there leaguers in the camp?
You have a league problem, don't you?
We do have a league infestation. But no, we get to camp and who do I see? I see the Prince of the Reapers and a couple of other Reapers.
Oh, my boy Sicaro.
And everyone was like, oh, what are they doing here? And I literally out loud say, I think they're here for me. And Sigra replies with, and what makes you think that, Neve? And I was like, I understand you've had a good chat with Murdoch. And he was like, I think I have. I was like, right, come on, get it over with. I'm tired. I've just come back from battle. I want to get de-kitted before standing. What are we doing? And they're like, come over here. Let's have a chat. So we...
Oh, little talk.
I'm just...
Nothing worse than a little chat with the Reapers.
Worse things have happened.
Pussy cats.
But, yeah, so... We have a little bit of a chat and I get told a story about a mongoose that basically betrayed the loyalty of his other mongoose friend by crying wolf or something. I wasn't really listening. I was like, come on, get this over with. But the Reaper, the Prince of the Reaper, Sikro, is a very hospitable man. You know what I'm trying to say there?
Hospitable.
That's the word. It poured me some wine in my tankard. And we, you know, it was very lovely. But it was then is when I received my payback from Murdoch, which was a freezing brand. So for anybody that doesn't know what a freezing brand is, it's winter magic, and it's a scar that when someone asks you how you got that scar, you are in immense pain until you get the words that are branded to the scar out your mouth. So I am now branded with the words, this is for betraying the loyalty of my best friend Murdoch, and I reap what I sow. So anytime anybody asks me about my scar for the next year, I have to be in immense pain and say that.
Which was very funny when people were asking you and I pretended not to hear.
Yeah.
Like, after someone else had just pretended not to hear.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't add sponsored by the Crimson Reapers.
I thought that was going to be added, but it wasn't, thankfully. But I did put my own little Neve twist on it as he was about to cut my face. I was like, well, hang on a minute. If anything's going to pierce my skin, it's not going to be that terrible thing in your hand. And pulled out my dagger and like, at least do it with this, will you?
Oh, the moxie. I love it.
I was like, go on, just get it over with. And they were like, Joe, you've been a really good sport. And I was like, yes, because I've just been fighting for my life for an hour.
Did he let you pick the cheek?
It's on my forehead.
Oh, fuck.
It's not even on a cheek. It's on my forehead.
I felt so bad when I saw it. I was like compulsive. I was just like, oh, what's it for? Why did you?
Yes. So that's going to be fun for the next year. So thank you, Murdoch.
I have to admit, though, I'm upset with Murdoch. I didn't see them being chilly. I was in the Hall of Worlds with them, and I tell you what, they didn't look cold. They looked quite comfortable. So
That's newbie. That's rookie mistake.
Yeah.
We'll have to remind Murdoch of that next time.
I expected heat exhaustion.
I think you should bring a pack of ice cubes, and whenever you see him not being cold, just chuck one down his back.
Oh,
you look cold now.
Or if he suddenly warms up a little bit, I think my scar might start healing over a little bit. It might start scabbing a bit, you know?
Well, it's caused a bit of a chain reaction because now I can't say to Murdoch, oh, Murdoch, you look a bit cold, without him then turning around if you're there and saying to you, what's that scar for? So I've started to stop, like, not saying it to Murdoch anymore.
But that's what was waiting for me after battle. And then,
speaking of league problems at your camp, what did you think of my decorations I brought before time?
Oh, God, there were jackdaw posters fucking everywhere, like tree.
They looked like they were like... like
wanted posters.
No, it was like when you're at the urinal, there's like an advert. Like, yeah, was it like head high? I was like, if you're pissing on that tree, it's just looking at the jackdaw.
I mean, appropriate place for a jackdaw poster.
I just wanted to go. I was like, you know what? I'm going to put these in the places no one's ever going to bother going to for the long.
Right, in the back of the Navarre Woods.
This is the first event where your poster lasted the whole event.
Really?
Because I kept seeing it. I was like, I'm too busy to remove it.
Yeah, yours stayed up at the Dredge Shields camp for the whole event too.
Next time it's going to be kindling, I guarantee that.
That's fair. The goal next year is one poster for every tree.
My time in tradition is typically to remove it and throw it on the fire, but I didn't have a chance.
That's a tradition, but you missed poster quest last time, so I'll bring it back.
Yeah, you made up for it this event, don't worry.
So to talk about a dear friend quickly, you've mentioned about keys getting thrown back into the fight after they were terminal.
Just make sure you check out their story at LARP Noobs, because I'm sure they can fill it in a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm waiting for their episode to drop.
Yeah,
hopefully
where is it, Millie?
Hopefully it'll be shaking. Soon. Yeah, their pre-LARP's awesome. So I just came back from battle, sat down, and was thinking about getting us some lunch. And I saw Keys walking through the market and like hobbling. He had his stick, he had bandages and stuff all over him. And I was just a bit busy and thinking about stuff. And he spoke to me and I asked, like, how are you doing? Are you all right? And I didn't cotton on to the fact that he'd mentioned that he was terminal. He had said it, but it just didn't click in my mind. So I was like, oh, well, we'll get you a healer. You'll be fine. Patted him on the back and walked off.
What an Otis healing Otis motivational.
I know. And I felt so bad afterwards when I was like, oh, yeah. terminal. Right, gotcha.
No, I remember when I spoke to him about it and he was talking about, oh, yeah, me and Agni, we're a bit injured now, but I keep saying I want to make her a favourite soup when we get back. I don't know why she keeps crying.
Yeah, it was so sad. Because obviously he was acting as though... He wasn't sure exactly what was going on. So it was very sad. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
And then a shout out to, and I can't remember what their business is called, but we went over to the pie and mash place just to see what they had.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Yeah, for a post-battle feed. And they didn't have any pie. Oh, they did have some pie and mash, but they had another option, which was called a stabby box.
Ooh, stabby meal.
Oh, a stabby meal. So it's like a play on a Happy Meal. You get... it was a banging chicken pesto sandwich.
Oh, that sounds great.
It was so good. A little chorizo cheese wheel thing. Try saying that 10 times. And what else was it?
There was a little cake.
A little banana muffin thing.
And a little prize. And a toy.
And you got a toy.
Oh, that sounds great. That's only value.
Why are you laughing at, Morgan? I think this is a great idea.
What was yours again?
So my toy... which I was very to have after a very bloody battle. My toy was a dangly for my kilt, a little green thing.
I got a cat.
Yeah.
I got an adopter cat from the Marches.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I was so happy.
What are you chuckling at?
It's so funny.
It was so cool. And it was a really good lunch. I think How much was it? Two crowns.
Yeah.
I went because I really wanted the stabby meal, but the veggie option was falafel and hummus, and I'm not a massive fan of falafel, but they did have a vegan pie, which was like a spiced lentil curry-like pie.
Oh, I heard about so that. Good. Yeah, it was meant to be good.
Yeah, and I had one of the veggie sausage rolls as well. Mm. And their food was so good.
It's so funny how you would like... It was like 2 crowns. That's so funny because that's just so much money for me.
Luckily, I'd sold a bit. Was I selling me this event?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The bacon mead sold better than the chocolate orange mead.
Fucked up.
But I don't know if it was as well.
Perverts.
A couple tried the bacon mead and were like, oh. But other people tried it and said that it was absolutely delicious. So we were able to spend our money on stabby meals.
Yeah.
And so it's only 2 crowns. I'm like, oh. Oh, nice. Oh,
that must be nice.
My player pack had less than a crown in it.
My player pack had over a throne in this time.
Well, as I say, I was at the pie shop as well, and I was sat with Daisy and waiting, and I was like reached into my bag, realised there was something in there. I pulled it out. I took them by the hand, placed it gently in their hand, closed their fingers, and they looked at me like, you fucker.
I know exactly what this is.
Tiny frog.
It was a little frog.
I did that to Cricket as well, but it was a little mushroom with happy eyes.
Oh, that must be why when you gave them the mushroom, they were like, this better not be a fucking frog.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Right. David loves frogs.
I did it again because I found a little slip of paper from Smutty Nuts from like the last summit in my bag, and I was like, do it again. She's like, better not be a frog.
But then we were getting some prep done, weren't we? Because we had a little place we had to be at.
Yes. We had to be at the Glory Square for 3:30 because there was Randall's Panto at 4 and we wanted to make sure that we were there on time because not only were we there to watch it...
We were in it.
Woo! Yay!
Which was a lot of fun.
I was so excited for this.
Yeah. Well, Chloe, I didn't know it was a secret for a while, but Chloe wanted to keep it as a secret for the Dread Shields. So they'd just rock up and then I would come out from behind backstage with a dress and a wig on. Thank you for the dress and wig, Kerry and Tom.
Yeah,
you're welcome for the wig.
It's my favourite dress. I feel so sleek and sexy in it.
Yeah. You utilised the wig for the rest of the event.
The fact that you wore it.
I claimed it was, I was that moved by the play, I claimed it was Randall Murch. And because it's Hot Merc Summer, I had to look my best.
Yeah, you did.
Dashing.
You were definitely a Hot Merc.
It was one of the looks of all time.
If you guys want to see Hot Merc Summer, check out the part one thumbnail where you'll see Tom fully dressed up in his wig. But no, I think the partner went really well.
Oh, it was fucking fantastic. Amazing.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think, like I was saying earlier, it's the first time, I think, as a group, we have been in the same spot since we started in 2021, was it, when it started again?
Yeah, it will have been, yeah, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah. In time in. That is the only time all five of us have been together.
Yeah, I didn't even see Morgan, actually.
I did. Yeah, I could see Morgan for hours stood because he was stood
at the side. I kept catching Chloe's face as you were getting changed. And I was like...
I kept just looking at you like... Mm.
That's so funny.
I have to say, the highlight of the play was around the Empire song.
That was
the
green
changes. Yeah, that was great.
I was in awe. I was like, is she going to make it? Is she going to make it? What's the impression going to be? Loved it.
A lot of people loved a bit of an accidental boo-boo by me.
Yeah.
I was like, when you didn't know where your line was.
And it was just, yeah.
I know, but it just, that sort of thing seems almost staged because it's that perfect a joke to not know your line and then for it to just be yes.
The fact that it wasn't staged made it funny for us, not just funny for you guys. Like, whether it was staged or not.
If it was staged, it would have looked more obvious and more awkward, but like, it feels like it's on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem stupid, it seems funny. You know?
It's because I was on the wrong page because it was at the point where Cinderella had slapped Randall, but like, I think she actually slapped him. So I was just like, are you okay? The guy that was playing Randall was like, yeah, like, oh, I'm fine. Luckily, it worked in panto as well.
Yeah.
But and then when I came back, like, we'd flipped over the page and I didn't think that I had any more lines because my last line was just the word yeah. So it just hadn't registered that it was in my head that was a line. And then there was just a big silence and it was you, Alex, that nudged me and pointed to the air. I went, oh, yeah. I was just like, oh, shit, okay.
It just looked great. I loved it.
But it was really good. Like, mad respect to the guys that had written it.
And put it together, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll ever put it on again?
Oh, I reckon so. So
I'll come and see it again.
Yeah, Randall's already got some things in the pipeline for what he wants to do next time. But it went down really well, and big props to the crowd for getting stuck in and interacting with us as well. Aha. I got threatened with a curse for one of my lines that was quite derogatory towards Cinderella. One of the orcs off to the left was like, I'll curse you.
I fucking love the heckling orcs.
Yeah,
they were so funny.
I was waiting to see what they'd do when the orc bit, when the round empire.
Throughout the whole thing, they were heckling, and when we were doing the round the empire bit, and it got to the orcs, and it was just piss off. They literally went, fair.
I love them saying, oh, that's not Randall, that's a fucking imposter. Where's Randall?
Yeah.
I loved it.
I do love, because I wasn't expecting Randall to be played by someone else.
That was the funny part about it. But honestly, I just want to say, so obviously Randall, but Albert, Dan, Kelsey, Lucy and Poppy absolutely knocked out the park.
Yeah, just fantastic.
Fantastic. Like, the effort that they all put in.
Yeah.
So good. We just turned up.
And we were worried that there weren't going to be all that many people there, considering the time and that it was just before a wedding and stuff. But apparently someone counted for us and there were about over 200 people there.
Yeah, and that's during the Navari fashion show as well.
Exactly. So, it went down really well.
Glad I went. I'd go again. I'd go again every event if I could.
But then we had to rush off. So obviously the Panto crew were having some celebratory drinks at Wise Guys afterwards, but we had to run off because we had a funeral to attend. So the vibe had to change dramatically from silly, silly fun times to serious, sad times.
We'll get to that after. What was everyone else doing?
What were you doing, Morgan? I believe you were testing, weren't you?
I was helping somebody pass their test of metal. Mm. So a friend of mine is aspiring to go from knight errant to earl, And in order to do this, she is gaining the favour of many houses of Dorne. And once she's done so, she will become an earl of her new house. The challenge that she had been set was a game of capture the flag. So she had to retrieve a flag from the house of who she was trying to win the favour from. The rules were that we were all permitting assault. So we couldn't levy any fines against each other if we were to get assaulted. You were not allowed to commit the crime of... Oh, what's it called?
Tax evasion.
No, Massaglian?
Massandry?
No. There's a crime where you can't attack healers, and I can never remember how to say it. So you basically, people were allowed to get healed. You weren't allowed to attack healers for that. You weren't allowed to attack anybody that wasn't involved. It was a group of us versus a group of their supporters. So we were like a scattering of Dornish. We had an Imperial Orc. We had some Freeborn, and we had a Navari. And we were against some Dornish, a Marcher and a Wintermarker. And essentially, the objective was one team went up to the Marchers with their banner, and we had to go to get them. So we were very much like, a lot of us were heavily armed, and we're like, right, we're going to begin the slow trudge up towards the Marchers. So I was standing next to the Imperial Orc, and we were walking along, and we're just kind of chatting because we can't see them yet. And then we hear... And I'm like, what? They go before we can turn around. Between us appears one of the Wintermarker and just cleaves both of our legs as they run past and sprints on. And we're like, both of us get our legs ruined. As that's going on, we're kind of like, you know, using Relentless to get our leg back, and we see them starting to fight at the other side. And I know this guy's got a lot of unstoppables. So he's like wailing around, trying to smack us all, trying to bring him down. And I bring up my trusty sword, Darklight. And I run up to him just as before he cracks out an unstoppable, and I'm like, weakness! And he's like, oh, fuck. Boom, 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 goes down. Then we sprint up the hill, and I'm like, oh, I'm exhausted already. Start running up the hill, trying to find this flag. We get all the way to the top, past the Marchers, towards almost like, so we go up. We were running kind of amongst, like, past up through the league, round the back. Everyone kept screaming, like, what's going on? And we're like, it's fine, we're consenting to this. As we're, like, beating each other up. Then one of their team is a wizard. So we're like, oh, dear, who keeps coming within range. But I've got Viridian on my team who ends up shattering their kind of staff. So we beat them to the ground. I have a really good moment with a friend of mine. Both of us are knight errants, where we kind of just slam into each other, because I get my like up to them, and we're just stabbing each other on the back. And it's like a race to zero. It's like, so then I'm looking pretty fucked up. It's like, right, keep going. We see the banner being taken away. We're like, where, you know, trying to get to where it is. There's some great pictures in the street of me and a Freeborn kind of pointing to where the banner has to go. We find, so either the Earl of the house that my friend is challenging or her have to be in the glorious square with the banner. So all we really have to do is stop the Earl from getting to the glorious square. So we see him and we're like, fantastic, run towards, someone cleaves his leg, and then we just stand between him and his allies. So then they're trying to track down the banner. Then we start to make our way towards the glorious square, and I see Hugh Farrier, played by Harry Knight.
Harry K. Knight.
Who has been on the podcast before. And he's got his big old pole arm, and he's having a whale of a time striking people down on the ground. Amazing. But once again, something people really don't like is when you stop them doing that. Weakness! And I've never seen a man's face turn to rage so quickly in my life. He just was like, right, come here, you. And there's some excellent pictures of us. Great pictures, unfortunately, right where the skips were.
Oh, no.
So it's just the two of us scrapping by the bins.
Are you sure that wasn't time out?
Scrapping by the bins, trying to kind of like beat each other down. And then we find, someone says, the banner is in the glory square. We just need to get, you know, the people personally, our team there. So we start to run up. As we get up, my shield gets shattered by this kind of the bloody enchanter that I'd attacked earlier. And we can see, and eventually, finally, our team member gets in, grabs the banner, and we, like, win. And it was, like, a really cool moment.
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh, it was excellent. Awesome. I love, like, tests that are, like, dramatic and they're kind of going everywhere and stuff. So
if you had a race for a test of metal, you should have come to us. We did so well with it for you.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't my test.
So you could have been like, well, I happen to know some
Do
people.
Do you want us to get 20 people involved?
20 scary, biggest fucking Nefari that will just stop anything.
But yeah, really cool, really good fight. Very much enjoyed it. And that was kind of the end of the test. And there was some confusion as to the rules that were followed there. But that's, I guess, another story. But nonetheless, we won the challenge. And then the only other thing that happened was I was hunting down the Glory Helm, because as I mentioned last episode, I needed to find the Glory Helm and take it on an adventure. So step one of that is to find the Glory Helm. I'd seen it at the Dewfrost camp, but it was now gone. And I went into a pub and I saw, sitting on the desk, the Glory Helm. I was like, ah, good. And I went up and I picked it up and I turned to the bartender and said, what's the rules of this game? And they looked at me and went, give me the helmet back and I'll tell you. I was like, no, I don't think so. I'm going to keep this. I was like, look, it's fine. I'll buy a drink whilst I'm here. Fantastic drinks. And I felt really bad because they were like really high alcohol drinks, but I was ready for like, you know, a cheapest drink. I was ready to pay like, you know, 6-7 rings for a small glass. But it was like really nice, high percentage alcohol. Yeah. It was like a crown a drink. And I was like, the crown! And they were like, oh, you know, it's homemade, it's really nice. I'm like, no, I'm not saying it's overpriced.
Yeah, I'm just not saying it's not worth it. Yeah, I'm just poor.
I have 5 rings in my pouch. I was like, I'm really sorry. Left with a helmet. took the helmet with me and then technically broke the rules. You're not allowed to use this against me in character because...
You don't know this. Yeah.
But I strapped the helmet to my belt. And people are like, that's against the rules. I'm like, I don't care. I need this
I'm
for my test.
An imperial yeah. war.
I need my helmet. I need the helmet for my test of metal.
I got to wear the helmet.
Yes. Yeah. And I also bought a poison.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh.
But that's a secret tool that will be important later.
Please don't poison me.
I really enjoyed when the orc tried to steal the helmet from you.
I just got full-on wrestled outside of Wise Guys. And this helmet strapped to my belt and this orc starts coming towards me like, no. And I went to grab my helmet. And
oh, I basically love the orcs.
Basically, I felt like we were in like a, is it like a rock in like rugby? Just yeah. like shoulders together. And then I just hear the jackdaws like,
me and Modesto have been having a drink at Wise Guys, having an afternoon off. It's like, oh, we'll save you, Tristan. Oh, buddy, this is loyalty. It's like, well, he was rugby tackling you, so he kind of flashed us him.
Just like a scrum, just kind of like outside Wise Guys. And I was like, they can't take the helmet. It's literally strapped to my belt.
I wish someone got a photo.
Oh, that was very ridiculous. We did like a little OC check-in afterwards. I was like, you good? Yeah. But yeah, that was cool. Then I watched your wonderful pantomime. It's that more, yeah. Help someone with their test of metal, do part of the test of metal. Bought a poison. And stole a helmet.
Words.
Nice.
In that time, you might have heard, we've opened a bar.
Oh, no, bar? I had no idea.
Yes, what? We have opened a bar.
When did you get a bar?
Sing the theme tune.
Oh, on laughter we pour.
That's not the theme tune, that's just the phrase, come on. The jingle.
We don't have a jingle.
Oh, I was hoping you'd ad lib.
We had a jingle in the hens, but now it's the bird bath, so I have to write a new one.
Yeah, so part of the idea was to prevent our beloved friends, the Reapers, coming down and just buying the bar, like I imagine they would do as time in. James, who plays Raga, who's the owner, has come up with the idea that we can buy stock, the Jackdaw Carter can buy stocks and shares in the bar. So I have bought 5 shares in my pub.
Excellent.
Lovely. So now Nietzsche has entered the game of passive income.
Very prosperous. I have stocks too, just because I gave James some money for some booze and I was like, it's okay. And he was like, stocks.
So I was wondering, like, when I got home, I was like, I'm usually only ever spend what I get in my character pack. Where's my money gone? Oh, yeah, I spent a throne and a bit on stocks. Hooray.
So is investing in a pub prosperous? Because it's not
it
your...
It depends if you spend the money that you earn.
But it's not your hard work.
But it is, because I work in the pub.
That's not his work.
Actually, no, I don't work in the pub. I walk around and talk about the pub. And
but this is my...
It has helped Raga pay off his large debt.
But this is a question for in character. But I would make the argument that that's not prosperous, because you are making money off not your own work.
But the tent, it is in our camp.
But you buy shares, you're like an investor, so it means that, like, if you don't put money in, then the person who's, like, running the bar can't afford to buy
the alcohol
things as much.
Yeah, it helps the business. That would be prosperous, yeah, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I will save it for... I think there's a debate there.
I see where you're coming from, because people in the real world don't invest to help a business.
Yeah, really. You invest to make money. Yeah.
Well, the jackals do want the business to remain.
Yeah. I'm going to maintain that as long as you spend the money that you earn and don't just hoard it in bank accounts, in your coin purse, then it's prosperous, because prosperity is as much about spending money as it is about earning it.
Yeah. I'm going to meditate on this. And then I'll speak to the Cardinal of Prosperity and be like, "Hey, is the stock exchange a prosperous endeavor?"
I am also planning of working at the bar. We do need more staff.
Yeah, to be fair, if it's all jackdaws and like family, because it's the family business, so all the family have stocks. I think it's just jackdaws other than that. So it's not like it's an open market kind of thing.
Jackdaws and Cameo.
Cameo's family. Cameo's my sister.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
So Cameo's got the same amount of shares as me because, you know, family.
It's opened up an interesting question.
Yeah, it has. Very much like, I don't know.
Don't call me a heretic, Morgan.
No. I'm not saying it's unprosperous. I'm saying it's not prosperous. I'm not making the argument that it makes you a bad, like, it makes you an unvirtuous person. I'm just making the argument.
It doesn't make you virtuous.
It doesn't make you virtuous because you're not being prosperous. You're not striving from your own labour. You're not... yeah, interesting. I will speak to some prosperity priests.
Okay, so maybe the way you're earning money isn't gaining you prosperity, virtue, whatever, but the way you spend that money.
Yeah, you could argue that the spending it is. Although I would... we'll discuss that. We'll take up too much time with
episode on prosperity.
Virtue philosophy, but we'll speak to a prosperity priest.
We had a lovely winter marker who was camping in our camp with Rob, because we are a multi-nation camp where people will stay in the tents and then leave in the morning and scatter. They made some delicious chicken grain stew. Absolutely phenomenal. I very rarely eat hot food, not from the trader at Empire, so... having food with actual nutrients in was, oh my God, what is this?
It makes a difference. It really does.
Oh, that was lovely. What else did I had the usual issue of playing the merc game as well of, we want to hire the jackdaws for a mercenary contract for a skirmish. Now, this is great. Love being hired. Don't like the price changing a lot. Not for the prospect of I don't like people to haggle. But every time the price changes, I have to go and then track down all the troops that want to go on it and say, look, the deal has now changed. If it was you were just playing a normal player, yeah, go out, fight for free, whatever, that's the game. But playing mercenaries, like, look, they agreed to a start-off paying us 6 crown a head. It went to the paying us nothing, which went up to the paying us 4 crowns a head, then down to 2 crowns a head. That's a lot of... tracking jackdaws down, telling them the deals have been altered, then them getting rightly like, right, the deal's been changed too many times, we don't want to go. Because from six crowns to 2 crowns a head is a lot of money. And like I say, once the jackdaws scatter, they're very hard to find again. So...
I don't understand why you didn't get this all down in ink and paper.
Usually I like to, but they didn't find me first.
This is where the freeborn have got the edge.
Oh, we do have pre-written contracts.
No, but that's what I'm saying, because the freeborn are all like, I'm not saying yes to anything until it's written in blood.
Generally we do that.
Yeah.
But with skirmishes, because they're such in a hurry, like, you look at you like, got to answer now, and then run off. So we are going to deal with piece of paper. OCS, he came to us like, right, are you actually interested in going in contracts? Yes. No, skirmishes. Yes, we are. But for one, we'd get pissed off at being bounced from the gate each time. It's a long time to get armoured. Last season, we were bounced out of 3 or 4 skirmishes.
True.
After getting to armour. 2, as I say, playing the merc brief, please just give us a price that you're going to open with and be happy with. Every time you change the deal, I have to then go and find the numbers. And that's making it harder work for you, because you want those numbers to be at the gate, and then you wonder... why aren't those numbers at the gate? Well, I couldn't find anyone, or the last minute change their minds.
Yeah, sure.
So if you ever want to hire a mercenary company, guys, just come to us with a number you're comfortable to pay, and we will drum together the troops. And yes, I will be bringing out my pre-written contracts to carry everywhere.
Nietzsche now has contracts to talk to him. How long will this last? Please.
One of the compliments I did get on the field is, my God, Nietzsche, when someone tries to sell you something, you just breeze right past them. You do not give them the time of day.
No, I'm the same. I'm like, I don't have time. I have potions to buy. I have magic items to purchase. I do not have time.
I have 18 rings to my name.
I have 18 rings. I don't have time for your soap. Leave me.
I'm also, like I say, I'm a bitter old prince, has no time for cakeonomics.
I was going to say, I've managed to bypass that because I'll get the cold shoulder when I say, oh, chocolate orange mead? Like, no, thanks. And then I'll say, as they're walking away, bacon mead? And they'll be like, what?
You just see their ears visibly
yeah. Up. So I don't get breezed off very much anymore now with the bacon mead.
It was last summer that me and another Carter were having like a proper adult court tour to sort out contracts relating to a dead player and all that. And this was like dead serious. Like, we got to work this out, make sure each party's happy. Every fucking brownie salesman at Anvil comes up to us like, you want a brownie? You want a brownie? No, we don't fucking want a brownie right now. Please. But like, just to finalise my point on the contracts, I am fucking glad I did not order my troops to go out on them. Three people went on their own volition because it was Sarvos and they wanted revenge against the Sieka Heralds. Thankfully, all the fuckers came back, which I was really worried about because that was a deadly skirmish, hence... Six crowns ahead for that one. Golem will go. Two crowns, not enough. And I'm fucking glad I didn't send anyone else because six of my friends in the Reapers died in that skirmish.
Oh, it was that one.
That yeah, one.
Rough.
That's why danger money, a good thing. I was literally devastated and ran back to the camp once yeah. I heard six Reapers are dead
yeah.
to find out are all my troops still alive, including my dear boy Kostia
yeah.
and the lovable Dave. Two for getting eaten by sharks.
The lovable Dave.
He's consistent with his character deaths, but I am... Like, Radic was in our camp at one point, and he'd hung his very majestic hat up in camp, but it was on Sophie's staff. Like, it was hanging off, like... Because she had it propped up, and so, obviously, the base was down, and, like, the top bit was up, and that's what he'd hung his hat on. And it's a very heavy hat, and I didn't want it to, like, bend her staff or anything, like, OC. So I was just like, dear Radic, that I went over to him. I was like, oh, dear Radic, you are always very welcome in our camp, as you know, and we love to host you. But if you could please not use our major's staff as your hat stand, we would be very appreciative. And he was like, I'm not in the mood. I kind of walked off and was like, oh, well, what's great? His knickers in a twist. And then I heard the news about the six Reapers dying.
Yeah.
I was like... That would be that.
That'll
then.
Do it.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of veteran players. Like one of them was the Silver Wolf of the Silver Wolf, who was one of the best fighters in the Empire. Just gone. Sieka Heralds, folks.
Yeah,
don't mess around with them.
Dangerous.
Crazy. Yeah, like Joe and I did have like a little check in. He was like, oh, I just wanted to make sure that you're okay. Like I hadn't pissed you off, and I was like, oh no, like it's good. Like I know it was all. Icy.
Yeah.
I was like, and I didn't realise like what had actually happened. I was like, so it just makes it a bit funnier, icy. But yeah, we had like a little check-in. It was all groovy, but
check-in is big and smart.
They are
always do a check-in.
Well, yeah, on that bombshell, I reckon we'll call it. But next week we'll have a lot to talk about. We're going into the outstanding Gerald Ashbourne. Gellert Ashbourne's funeral telling, as it's known, I see, and the rest of Saturday's shindigs into Sunday.
Yeah. Mm. I believe you have a 5-star review to read out, Mr. Morgan.
Oh, my goodness. Abbott's Retreat 3377 on YouTube. 5 stars.
Hey.
Five star emojis. 5 stars.
What a
different
treat.
Star emojis as well. I know this isn't a Q&A episode, but since Morgan is contractually obliged to read 5-star comments, I'm going to ask one anyways. What is the easiest nation to have basic kit for?
Naval.
As a person who will be eventually joining you for an event from Canada,
woo!
Baggage space is severely limited.
Naval? Yeah, first of all, mad journey that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Play.
Amazing. 100%. I hope it's worth the trip.
I'd love to make the journey that way to do Bike Align at some point.
Yeah.
Which is their, like, big LARP.
I want to go to Germany to play some of their LARPs.
Yeah. So I had a couple of Navars.
Yeah, I'd probably say Navar.
See, I asked a couple of my friends of this, and somebody pointed out Dawn. And it's only if you're not taking into account armor, because armor is going to be very heavy to bring over, right? Irrelevant of anything. Unless you get aluminium chainmail, which is really light, you could get that in your case. But Dawn, someone was like, all you need for Dawn, pair of trousers, LARP shirt, tabard. Mm. And I was like, yeah. Do you know what? That's actually very true.
You don't even need that for Navarre. Yeah. You just need a pair of brown trousers,
green shirt.
Tunic.
Yeah.
Sorted.
Yeah. I'd say winter marks pretty easy off the peg as well.
See, I was thinking marches. Because I know they've got some, I know they've got a lot of like elaborate kit, and their kit is absolutely incredible a lot of the time. But
you could absolutely get away with being real.
A pair of trousers, a pair of charity shop brown trousers and a white shirt.
So the only thing I'd say about that is like trousers are off brief for the marches.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. So in the marches, you're supposed to wear hose and braids. And it's also for a while, pockets were off brief for the marches. Like it has one of the more stringent kit briefs.
But there tends to be a lot of reenactors in the march.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'd say with the march. I think it's almost like the march of kit brief is like strict because it's like reenactors, you've got all this really cool kit, use it. But I don't know. I think the thing is as well, we were discussing this, is that every nation has got like very entry-level kit. Everyone, the groups with lower entry kit have just died.
Hard.
But I don't think the marches, I think everyone in the marches is a hardcore LARPer. Mm. I've never seen low-effort marcher kit. Yeah. Everyone's always put their whole ass into it. Mm. Dawn, I've seen low-effort kit. Navarre, Wintermark, not the League, actually.
The League's brief is everywhere.
I'd say the League might be the most difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, you just need a separate suitcase just for your hat. Yeah.
I think the League's the hardest.
Yep.
I think Dawn is, like, both the easiest, but also, like, towards the hardest if you want to do the proper noble stuff.
Aspirational, I suppose.
Yeah.
Start quite low and build up from there.
Yeah. If you want to hit up charity shops, Brass Coast is quite easy possible.
Yeah, but it's in terms of packing, right? And I think for, like, from a layer perspective, I would probably say Navarre, Dawn.
Windermark.
I disagree with that.
I think, Mark, you want a lot of furs and things.
I don't know. You don't need the furs if you're starting off as like a house.
But I don't. I think
if you want to be recognisably,
you want to look like your nation. I think if you don't, Wintermark, a lot of Steiner already get confused for other nations. Yeah. I think if you want to get recognised as your nation, Wintermark
time. Navarre, green tunic.
Yeah.
Chloe,
Navarre's probably the
some leaf motifs, war paint as well, right? Like a lot of Navarre kit is the makeup, right?
Yeah, true.
And I think actually for armor, if you are willing to go mage armor, super light kit. I've got a belt. I drew runes on my beak, and I've got what else do I have? Oh, I've got some braces that I've drawn runes on as well. And it's literally, I took a picture of my armor compared to Tom's massive armor bag.
Sure,
oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say Navarre, easiest base kit to kind of get down, then probably Dawn. But I get you need to think about packing like coming that far, but equally it's whatever brief appeals to you the most.
Exactly.
Like,
You can find a way to do it.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like whatever nation that you pick, you'll find a way to make it work for you. So yeah, take into account easy kit, but do what you want to do. Like this is a place for you to be what you want and how you want. Like just do what you want.
And there are some,
it's a nation on brief.
There are some base kits that cross nations as well, where you could throw something on top of it that would completely change what nation you're in.
Yeah.
So if you're not sure.
It's like Navarre base kit, but then throw a tabard over at your Dawn.
I think that's it, right? You want a basic kit of LARP trousers, LARP shirt.
Mm.
Which you can get. I don't know what it's like in Canada. There's loads of online providers for that kind of thing.
Amazon.
Yeah.
If you've got a budget, you can buy things on Trader's Row when you're here.
Yeah. But LARP shirt, LARP trousers, and then what you put on top of that is really going to change it. So like you said, you could put a tabard. You could, honestly, with that and a fancy hat, you could be League-ish. You wouldn't be the best, but you could do it.
Bring a mask.
A mask.
Easy to transport. Yeah.
Bring a cabbage, could be a marcher.
Yeah, just stand there with your cabbage and everyone knows exactly
just
where you're
love
from.
The Lord, please don't use Wish.
I think at the end of the day, as long as you look in character enough that you're not breaking people's immersion, I suppose like being really like obviously Wintermark or obviously Navarre isn't like if you can't afford it or if you can't afford like manage travel, you don't want to spend all this money investing in something that you're coming that far for.
Yes.
And you might not come, like you might find it's not worth it. Hopefully you don't feel that way. But as long as you look in character enough that no one's going to be like, oh, look, he's wearing a, Man City t-shirt.
But also,
I'm not sure why you'd be wearing a Man City
t-shirt. I guess it's like if you are... between two or three nations and your deciding factor is easiest kit, that's giving you some idea of what to go on, I guess.
And if you want to come to Navarre, you can hang out with us.
Yeah.
I was going to say one more thing. I can't remember what it is.
think.
Never mind.
That was a good answer to the question.
Yeah, I think so.
Very extensive answer, so you're welcome.
Yeah. I'm very curious to know what everyone else thinks. So if you want to get in touch, let us know.
Yeah, drop it in the comments.
Is that everything? Is there anything else?
Patreon, usual shebang.
Yeah, before I do the rounding off. No. Cool. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We will be back next time talking more about the rest of Saturday on E3. Maybe squeezing in Sunday, but that might be another episode as well. As always, thank you to our wonderful patrons for helping to keep the light on. And if you want to join our wonderful patrons, you can find us on Patreon at
Fable. It's a singular light now. We're really struggling.
the lighthouse is powering down.
Yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare. We're having to get Tom on the bike.
With his no bones.
Yeah, his only break is when we record. He's getting back on soon.
Just imagine him slumped in a hamster wheel.
Just like a slime ball just squelching down.
Just a can of iron brew to keep me motivated.
A really easy way to support us as well is if you've not been to Empire, you can get £15 off your first ticket by using the discount codes in the episode description below, which will also give us £15
off. Please.
But please like, share, subscribe, tell everyone about the podcast. And we look forward to telling you the rest of our weekend. And also, oh my God, I just want Empire now. I can't.
Please now.
Me and Chloe are dying.
Like, we've been messaging for like the past week, like, oh my God, I hate life. I want to be there.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye,
goodbye. Friends.
Bye.